and welcome to this half hour of Rallets Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallets, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or maybe you could come join us on Wednesday evenings for our Wednesday evening Bible study. We want you to know that you're invited to all those things and really come experience with us the wonderful things that God is doing here in this congregation. I'd like to take just a moment, if I could, to wish happy anniversary today to Steve and Karen Rich. We love Steve and Karen very much, and they're celebrating another anniversary today. Thank God for good Christian marriages. Also, I want to wish happy birthday to a few folks. Tomorrow, Mr. Adam Metter will be celebrating a birthday. Saturday, Miss Katie Harris will be celebrating a birthday. Sunday the 14th, Miss Amber Fancher and Mr. Jeremy Luchek will be celebrating birthdays. And next Wednesday, a week from yesterday, will be Miss Sherry Metter celebrating a birthday as well. And we thank God for all those folks, and we thank God that the Lord has placed them in our lives that we might be able to help each other through this. I want to share with you a little bit this morning out of the book of James. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. James 2, starting verse 14 through the end of that chapter. Do you know the book of James was almost left out of the New Testament canon because a lot of people felt like that it was being contrary to what the rest of the New Testament taught. That when James began to talk about works, James began to talk about how works are seen in faith, and it really rubbed some people the wrong way. Martin Luther being one of the most outspoken against it, but we know that through the providence of God, we find it right here, because not only is James agreeing with what Paul said, but he takes it a step further and begins to show us that the fruit of our spirit, the fruit of our faith, should produce works in our life. So let's talk about that just for a few minutes. Let's first of all share our scripture together. Verse 14 of James chapter 2 says this: "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God.' You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only? Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." It seems today, friends, if you put the word real in front of anything, it'll sell more. Real coffee, real leather, if you put that on something, it makes it of more interest. People begin to be interested in the genuine article. The real. There's a real TV now, and there's a book out, Real Men Don't Eat Stuff, and Coke. I remember when it used to be the real thing. Well, I want to talk to you today about what James has to say about how to have real faith. There are a lot of phony religions out there, people who think they are Christians and really aren't. In this passage, James talks about the difference between real and counterfeit Christians, authentic believers and fake believers, wheat and tares. He talks about how you can have a real faith. Jesus verifies this saying by person's fruits you can know them. This is the most controversial and misunderstood passage in the book of James. Many cults misunderstand it and try to use this passage to prove you have to work your way to heaven. The entire New Testament teaches that we are saved by faith alone. Let me say that again, because I don't want anybody to be able to say Dwayne Cook was preaching something other than that. The entire New Testament teaches that we are saved by faith alone, by grace through faith. James comes along and says it's not just faith, but faith and works. So what is he talking about? James or Paul? Which one is right? You know, Martin Luther, he wanted to try to take James out of the canon of Scripture because of how some folks misunderstood this teaching on works. So if James is right, is Paul. Or if Paul is right, is James. Well, listen, they're both right. They're talking about different things. Paul was fighting the problem of legalism. The problem of, I've got to keep all the Jewish laws and regulations to be a Christian. Paul is talking to that group. James is not fighting legalism, but laxity. Those who say, it doesn't matter what you do as long as you believe. They're fighting two different enemies. They both use the word works in different ways. When Paul uses the word works, he's talking about Jewish laws like circumcision and things like that. When James uses it, he's talking about the Christian lifestyle, acts of love. It's totally different. Paul focuses on the root of salvation. What happens to me internally? James focuses on the fruit of salvation. What happens on the outside? Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. Paul is talking about how to know you're a Christian. James is talking about how to show you're a Christian. Do you understand that? Today I think if there's one thing that we as churches need to solve, it's the problem of how to show the world that we're Christians. Do you know we're too safe inside the four walls in which you worship? You're entirely too safe there. It's entirely too easy. It's entirely too lax in order for you to just go through the motions and not really show the world that you're a Christian. Let me ask you something. If they were to try to convict you of being a Christian, would they be able to gather enough evidence? Well, I certainly hope so. I really do. It's more than people think. It's summed up in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Now listen to these verses. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Well, look there. James and Paul just had a handshake and they just agreed. Paul said, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, there are three prepositions in that passage. By grace, through faith, unto good works. If you get those out of order, friend, you're in real trouble. If you think you're saved by works, then you're in bad shape. For faith, you're in trouble. If he's saying we're saved by grace through faith, that's what he's saying. We're saved by grace through faith. We're saved just by accepting God's gift. But how do I show that I'm a believer? Well, James says there's at least that my small mind can grasp at least five ways that you can know you've got the real thing. Okay, first of all, real faith is not just something you say. Real faith is not just something you say. Real faith is not just something you talk about. Can that faith save him? Can such a faith save him? It doesn't say he actually has faith. He just claims to have. There are a lot of folks who claim to be Christians today, and they know all the right terms, they know all the right things to say, but to be honest with you, they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what makes the difference. It's about people not knowing about religion, but knowing about a relationship with Christ. George Gallup says that 50 million Americans say, I'm born again, but you don't see anything in their lifestyle. Today we tend to label people as Christians if they make the slightest sound of being a believer. It's more than just talk that is involved in real faith. Jesus said, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody with a Christian bumper sticker is a believer, or standing up holding a John 3:16 sign between the goalposts of a football game. Not everybody who is a professor of Christianity is a possessor of Christianity. Can such a faith save him? What value is that kind of faith? Nothing. Talk is cheap. We must, when the Bible says we're born again, there is a difference. There is change. James is saying that real faith is not just something you say. Do you know that anybody that claims to be a Christian but you don't see any evidence of their life? Real faith is not just something you say. Not only that, real faith is not just something you feel. It's more than emotions. A lot of people confuse emotions and sentiment with faith. You can be emotionally moved and never act on it. You can go to church. You can get a feeling of conviction. You can get a feeling of elation. Either way it goes, but it might not ever make any difference. Real faith is something more than you just feel. Real faith is more than just sympathy and feeling and emotion. You get assistance. You do something about it. You act on it. Real faith takes initiative. A real believer has real faith, and it's practical. It gets involved with people. He's talking about Christians here. This is the only time in Scripture that Christian women are called sisters. Did you know that? When you become a part of God's family, you have some family responsibilities. A real believer will care about other believers. 1 John 3:17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Real faith is generous. It wants you to give. Can people count on you in a crisis? How many Christians have the freedom to call you up in the middle of the night if they're in an emergency? Not just talking the talk, not just feeling for people. 1 John 3:14 says that one of the proofs of salvation is that we love other Christians. How do you have fellowship with believers? Real faith wants to be around other believers. You love them. It's known we're Christians by our love. We're a lot better at verbalizing our faith than practicing it. If we don't feel like helping other Christians, I don't have a sick faith, I have a dead faith. James is laying it all on the line here. He says, do you want real faith? It's more than just something you say, and it's more than just something you feel. Not only that, real faith is not just something you think. For some people, faith is an intellectual trip, a matter to be studied, debated, talked over, and discussed. James imagines this intellectual objector. He's imagining some intellectual guy who says, you're into faith, I'm into works. That's cool. Different strokes for different folks. Let's debate it. You've got your thing, I've got mine. To each his own way. Stimulate me mentally, but don't ask me to make any commitment. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. Circle, show me. Real faith is visible. You can see it. It's apparent. If you claim to be a Christian, people will be able to see it. It's visible. Nobody knows for sure. Only God. God knows for sure. Faith is odorless, weightless, and invisible, so anybody can claim to have it. How do you know for sure? James says, show me. If you claim to be a Christian, I have a right to ask you to prove it by looking at your lifestyle. Have you ever seen the big Baconator sandwich at Wendy's? Somebody said one time, faith is like calories. The reason I mentioned that, my son loves those, and they're chocked full of calories, and they're good. Somebody said, faith is like calories. You can't see them, but if you get enough of them, you'll know they're there, and you can see the results. You can't see faith, friends, but you can sure see the results. James, he would have made a good Missourian, born in Missouri. The theme of that state is the show me state. James saying, you say you're a Christian? Prove it. Let me see if your actions back up your words. If I say, I believe my health is very important, personal health is a high priority in my life, I believe that health is one of the most important things we ought to have, and you say, do you eat right? No. Do you exercise? No. Do you get proper rest? No. Do you take vitamins? No. Do you go for a checkup? No. It doesn't matter what I say. What counts are my actions. Real faith is more than just something you think. You can point it out and see it in other people. That's what James is saying. Show me. You claim to have real faith. It's something more than you say, something more than you feel, something more than you think. You can prove it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. They start becoming new. If you grab onto a 220-volt wire, you're going to know it. I don't see how anybody can grab a hold of something as big as God and them not know it and you not be able to see the change. James says flat out, if it doesn't change you, there's a question whether he's really in your life. What can I see in my life that proves it? If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That's a good question. That's what James was talking about. If you say, I know it, and then show it. How do you know that you're a real believer, you'll see some changes in your life. Real faith always produces change. Real faith is not just something you say. It's not just something you feel. It's not just something you think. And watch this. I'm going to blow somebody's mind. Real faith is not just something you believe. There are a lot of people who have strong beliefs in God, in the Bible, and about Christ. And they can recite creeds to you. They have catechisms, and they talk about doctrines of the Trinity, and they quote Bible verses. And James says, big deal. Just saying I believe in God is not enough to get you to heaven. Even the devil believes in God. The Bible says in Psalms, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's foolish to be an atheist, and the devil is no fool. The devil believes in God. He's been around a whole lot longer than we have. He knows theology backwards and forwards. He believes. His demons believe, and they shudder. I just read it to you from God's own word. Even the demons believe, and they tremble. The Greek word there is to bristle. Their hair stands up on end. And I'll tell you this, it aren't to, because my Bible tells me one day, old Satan, he can believe in God as much as he wants to, but that's not going to save him from what God's got prepared for him. It ought to stand his hair up on end, and it ought to stand his hair up on end when God's people begin to take action. And they begin to show the world that the belief in their heart has changed the way they live. The word believe in Greek means to trust in, to cling to rely on, to commit yourself completely. I'm a Christian because I believe in Jesus. I trust Him as my Savior. It's got more than just a head knowledge. A lot of folks are going to miss heaven by 18 inches, the distance from their head to their heart. They've got it in their head, but not in that heart. They say, I believe in God. James says, big deal, everybody believes in God. That's not enough. Real faith is not just saying, I believe. There's so much easy believism in America. A recent article in Southern California newspaper said, many in Orange County believe but don't practice. They did a survey and asked people all over Orange County, and they found a high degree of belief. Sure, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. You go to Horse Cave right now, find somebody on the sidewalk. Are you a born-again believer? Yes, I am. And do they attend church? No. Not regularly? Do you donate your time? No. Do you tithe? No. Do you pray? Well, every once in a while, do you attend church? No. James would say, that's phony belief. You're just conning yourself. A lot of people are doing that. It's not just something you say. It's not just something you think, feel, or believe. Then what is it? Well, I'm so happy you asked. Real faith is something you do. Two very different people. Abraham, you remember him from Genesis 17, and Rahab from Joshua chapter 2. Exact opposite extremes. Abraham is a man, Rahab is a woman. Abraham is Jewish, Rahab is a Gentile. Abraham is a patriarch, Rahab was a prostitute. Abraham is a somebody, Rahab was a nobody. Abraham is a major character in the Bible, Rahab is a minor character. James uses these things, these illustrations, to say it doesn't matter who you are as long as you've got the important thing. They only had one thing in common, and praise God, it was their faith. It was their faith. Their faith in God led both of them into action. How do we know it? We can see it. Abraham behaved in a way that gave his belief visibility. You know the story. It's the ultimate test where God asked Abraham to give up his own son. This has nothing to do with salvation. Abraham was already a believer 25 years earlier. Read Genesis 22. 25 years earlier, God said, you're righteous. He's not talking about being saved by his works. He's saying that he just shows how you believe. Abraham obeyed God. It was immediate. He followed him. He took his son up. He did all those faith steps. He cut the wood. He built the altar and was ready to sacrifice his own son. Abraham says to his own son while walking up the mountain, we will return. Not I, we will return. He knew that God would provide somehow, even if it meant raising him from the dead. The fact is, God did raise him from the dead, figuratively speaking. Abraham was about to sacrifice him, and God says, I was just testing you to see what the most important thing in your life. It was an action. His works proved his faith. He held nothing back. And he talks about Rahab. The story's in Joshua 2. It's how the story of a prostitute helped a couple of spies when they were coming into Jericho. Rahab ends up in the family line of Jesus. She risks her life to save the spies. Listen, in a very real sense, that's what God says to you. Talk is cheap. Put your money where your mouth is. I believe in Jesus. Prove it. Our faith is demonstrated by our actions, and actions speak louder than words. Our behavior shows what we really believe. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Test it. Check it out. See if you're really a believer or not. Ask yourself this question. Am I really a Christian after all? In the light of what James says, am I really a Christian? What changes can I... Is my lifestyle any different because of what God has done in my heart? Settle it in your mind. Maybe some of you had doubts whether you're a believer or not. You're a good person. You've gone to church and maybe you've known about Christ and you've read the Bible and you've had religion and you've gone to classes. But are you absolutely sure that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? The fact is you can be sure. You don't have to leave here and have the shadow of a doubt. You can settle it right now. How do you do that? God's grace. God reaches down. He says, I want you to know me. I want to have a relationship with you. That's grace. And when you look up and say, I want to know you, Lord. I want to have a relationship with you. That's when God's hand of grace comes down and your hand of faith goes up. That's called salvation. That's what it means to be a believer. You are believing on Him alone as your way of salvation. For He paid the price for your sins and can forgive them. Saved by grace through faith to do exactly what God made you to do in the first place. He has a plan for your life. You are not here by accident. Friend, I want to have prayer with you now, wherever you are. I don't know what's going on in your life right now, but I believe that God has the ultimate plan. One, the very first thing in God's will is that men should be saved. If you feel like you need to be saved, I want you to say your own prayer. I've never led anybody in a prayer, and I don't believe I'll do that. I believe that if God were to call you to salvation, then God will give you a prayer. And you just, it doesn't matter what you say, as long as you pour your heart out before God, you acknowledge to Him that you're a sinner, you acknowledge to Him that Jesus, everything Jesus said about Himself was true, and that you want Him as the Lord of your life. Will you end with me in a prayer right now? Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You, dear God, that You're still calling men and women unto salvation. Lord, I pray that You might be with all those that are listening even now, dear God, that You might help those, Father, that are in their struggles, that You might help those, dear God, that need You more than ever. Father, we thank You for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, friends, from Rallis Baptist Church.